Now, how would you describe your music to those of you who haven't heard it?
I would say we're, you know, pretty up-tempo rock band for fans of Rise Against, Bayside, Foo Fighters. It's positive music. You know, we don't sing how we hate our parents. You know, it's try to write songs that are, you know, relatable to things that are going in our lives that might be going on in somebody else's, or really just trying to, you know, touch that chord, no pun intended, or, you know, hit on an emotion that we're feeling at any given time.
Now, I just saw the video for the song Soon Forgotten. I like the way the video actually represents the band. How did that come about, and whose idea was it to film in a warehouse, I believe it is, and to have the song, or actually I should say the video, represent the music in that way? Because it leaves a lot for interpretation about what the song itself is about.
Right. Yeah, man. So we worked with the guy who did, we did our last video with. His name is Sean Paul Costello. He's a really talented, director, writer out of Philadelphia. He's a good friend of ours. I highly recommend him to anyone. As far as the location, I mean, we talked to him about doing, you know, something a little more performance, related back to basics. Our last video had some actors and some kind of big sets and stuff like that. And we wanted to keep it kind of simple this time around. Yeah, I mean, we talked and we felt that the warehouse was a good sort of representation of, you know, kind of the record and the song, because the song is kind of all about how, you know, what's this lifestyle we're leading. And, you know, I mean, the record's called The Mark We Leave Behind, which is a lyric from Soon Forgotten, you know, and, you know, kind of a warehouse is a good example of sort of what people have left behind, or what things are kind of there when everything else has moved on and stuff like that. You know, we want it to be a little, you know, open for interpretation as well.
Nice. Now, I also noticed in the video, see, I'm a guitarist myself, but I get into gear. You have a pretty iconic Gibson bass.
Don't get me started on gear.
I love that bass. I mean, with the original, it's one of the first bass guitars that have that came out with a bass bucker. So I mean, it's a fat sounding interest. It's a fat sounding instrument. I was wondering if you could tell me about the iconic bass that you have. I'm going to let you reveal the name. But I mean, you could tell. It's like a Coke bottle. You could recognize it from its silhouette.
Oh yeah, thanks, man. It's a Gibson Grabber. I think that's a 75 or a 76. Pretty much all stock, except for I replaced the bridge, because the bridges on those basses are awful. Gibson didn't use the greatest quality part sometimes in those basses, because they were sort of the lower end time, but I really like them. One of my big influences tone wise is I think his name's Eddie Breckenridge from Thrice, and he played one pretty much exclusively through most of their records. And I really like the bass. It plays nice, has a really nice sound, kind of in between sort of a jazz and a P bass, but it does its own thing. And it looks good.
Now, did you record with it? Because it has that, the song itself, I was wondering if you recorded that song with the same bass, because the bass has, you have a throaty tone in that, you know, raspy yet clear.
Yeah, man, I used that bass. I have two grabbers, actually. The other one I got without the slider. The slider was already removed, and it's got a P bass pickup in it, a Seymour Duncan. So it's got a little more of the P bassy thing going on. So we kind of swapped between the two, figure out which one we like better, and we went with what I like to call Blondie. And I same rig that's up there, the Ampeg tube head in the cab, and that bass. That was it.
Nice. Now, I mean, grabbers, I mean, how were you able to get two? Because those are, like, rare. I mean, like those are where, like, eBay asks you if you want to set up financing, you know, when you actually see one, you know?
I snagged them both on eBay, actually. You know, I got them. I mean, I had to put some work, and the one needed a refret, and Blondie, you know, I had to redo the bridge. You know, I wanted good quality, you know, a good quality stage bass, and I really love the sound of them. And you know, they're just, they fit me well. I'm a bigger dude, so they, you know.
Well, those are great basses. I mean, they're one of those things, because I'm, like I said, I'm a guitarist, but I have a studio, so of course I'm going to buy a few mm-hmm. basses, and you know, like those are the ones that I can never find on eBay, or they're like $4,000, you know, like $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, you gotta be persistent, man. I'm in a forum on Facebook that, you know, it's just for grabbers, and then the Ripper, which is slightly different, but similar. So yeah, you just gotta hunt around, man. They're out there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what gravitated you to that? Because, like I said, it's a heavy sounding bass. So that begs the question: who are some of your influences, and what got you on the bass in the first place?
That's a good question, man. So for years, I used to play an Ibanez Soundgear, and it was an active bass, and I really liked the fact that it kind of had that, you know, honky mid range tone. I play with a pick. You know, and I really liked it, and I kind of thought, you know, it was super skinny neck, and it was really lightweight. And then, you know, as I started recording in better studios, I kind of realized that, you know, active pickups don't really track very well. The bass, I mean, somebody once quoted saying, "You got the best sound I've ever heard out of a sound gear," and it was like sort of a compliment, but, you know, they just, it just didn't really track very well, and it just didn't really fit the rest of the band's image or anything like that. As far as my influences go, I mean, as I said, tone wise, like the bass player from Thrice is a big influence. I really love his tone. Matt Freeman from Rancid is a big influence on me. I used to steal all the guy from Sublime's licks. I think his name's Bud, maybe. I can't recall his last name, but Sublime was a big influence on me early on. Bass wise. Yeah, I mean, I love bass guitar. I think songwriters overall are probably more influential on me as musicians. Really like Bayside. You know, that guy can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm a big classic rock fan. I like Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. You know, I'm a big metalhead too. I'm a big fan of music in general, man. You know?
Nice. So you get into some of the classic bass players like John Paul Jones and John Entwistle and, you know, stuff like that too.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, Paul McCartney is fantastic. Who else? I always butcher his name. I want to say Roger. Is Roger Taylor the guy from Queen?
Roger Taylor is the drummer.
He's a drummer. He's
yeah.
A drummer.
Deacon. John Deacon. John Deacon.
John Deacon is the bass player. Yeah, man. I have the track by track breakdown of Bohemian Rhapsody, and like the bass line for that is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's one of the most underrated musicians that's in the history of rock, in my opinion. I mean, not only that, but he did so much for the advancement of the P bass. Cause if you remember, he mostly played Fender Precision basses, and he brought that sound to the forefront.
Yeah, man. Queen's a monster, you know?
Oh, exactly. And they are legends, man. I mean, but, let me ask you this, your EP, came out July 28th. If somebody who's never heard you before would ask you, if I buy this, what am I in for? What would you tell them?
You're in for a solid, rock EP. You know, we tried to expand ourselves musically and lyrically this time around, you know, a little bit more than our last record. And, I think you're going to get, you know, 6 quality jams that, you know, there's lots of sing-along moments. And there's just some real emotive parts in the songs. The guy we worked with, as a producer, Vince Ratty, was really good at kind of making little moments in the songs, just like little things that really kind of, wow, kind of make your arm hair stand on end.
Now, I got to ask you as well. I ask everybody this, and I never get the answer that I expect. If you could take one of the songs off the new album and throw the other 5 in the fire, what would it be?
Ooh.
And why?
Man, that's like throwing all your puppies in the fire.
Oh, it's like it's like choosing your favorite kid.
I know, man. I'm going to have to go with Soon Forgotten. I mean, I think that that was like one of the first songs we wrote for the EP. We sort of, you know, it kind of birthed the rest of the idea of the record. And, you know, I'm real proud of that song top to bottom.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like the flagship. Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of like the trailblazer for the rest of the album then, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's why, you know, amongst other reasons we picked it as a single, you know, it's really, that's the song that kind of got us moving on this record.
Okay. Well, as far as the record, the mark we leave behind, what song changed the most? I mean, from inception to recording to mastering to finish.
Let me see. The song that changed the most. Because some of the songs were we wrote fresh, and some of them were sort of skeletons that we kind of picked through from our last record, trying to finish.
Like stuff that wasn't finished.
I'm gonna have to go. Yeah, that wasn't finished, or we kind of, you know, finished the song and we're like, this wasn't gonna make the record or whatever. I'm gonna have to go with Underwater for that. That's the track 3. We had the intro and kind of the verse music, but we pretty much sculpted out the rest of the song, wrote a new chorus for it, kind of really gave it a makeover. And, you know, that's one of the, that's my, probably my other favorite song. It was between those two. I really, really like that song.
Now with you guys, I mean, this obviously isn't your first outing with you guys, but with you guys being a few albums into your career, do you find that with songs in hindsight, like you go back to your first song or first track or first single and think, man, I think we could have come up, or I think we've, you know, I've got a better idea for that, you know, than what you already did, and then maybe change it up live or something? I mean, do you find songs evolve after they're already put out?
So I think the biggest change is just when you go to play it live sometimes. We recently started playing a song from even before the Escape that, you know, some folks like, we kind of threw that back in the set and, you know, threw some little things in here or there. So I think live everything changes because as you as a musician, you know, there's a couple of little bass fills I do in one of the songs off the EP that I didn't put on the record because I just hadn't thought of it or it didn't occur to me or, you know, for whatever reason. So, I mean, songs are a snapshot and, you know, we've been fortunate enough to record with some really great folks and I feel that, you know, looking back, yeah, I mean, there's always stuff you could change or, oh, I could have added that bass fill there or, you know, we could have done this vocal run here. But overall, you know, I think we as a band are pretty proud of our output overall, you know, and I would offer up to anyone who checked this out to, you know, from top to bottom, I think our records are pretty solid.
Yeah, and I like the way you put that too, because music is a snapshot, not just for the listener, but for the artist that created it, because it's like taking a moment in time and then capturing it forever, and it's how the band is at that moment.
Yeah, man. I mean, our last record, we definitely we spent a lot of time songwriting and refining and refining and refining. And you know, sometimes you hit a point where a song you wrote, you know, this is a great song, we're going to put on the record, and then, you know, it's 6-7 months have passed, and it's kind of, you know, as an artist, you're kind of into moving forward and constantly creating new. So this time around, we put a lot of time into the pre-production end of things, you know, because we're sort of aspiring audio engineers ourselves. So, you know, it was writing the song, recording the song ourselves, kind of really picking it apart in that way so that we went in the studio, it was, you know, game on. But, you know, that was one thing we did a little differently this time around, was kind of, you know, we tried to write the songs in closer to each other and in a more singular point in time.
Now, one thing I have noticed about The Escape, from what I've heard, is you guys are pretty tight. I mean, you don't sound loose. You don't sound, you know, like unpolished, but you're not polished. I don't know how else to say it. You're still a diamond in the rough, which is a good thing. You know, it's not over processed. It's not over thought out. And, I've seen a lot of artists like have that problem where they will spend so much time micromanaging and nitpicking a song that it's too pieced together. It's too perfect, but not perfect in a good way. How do you know when, like, okay, when the four of you look at each other and know that's it? Okay, it's mastered. It's done.
Well, I mean, as far as recording the song goes, I mean, again, like we've, between the four of us, you know, we kind of pick it apart in the pre-production process. You know, everybody in the band sort of has done records before and things like that, so we know how the process goes. And then we really, I mean, that's what a producer, that's why we use, you know, we went to Vince Ratty. You know, he's sort of the fifth ear in the band, and he's really, you know, hey, Vince, this is our vision for our band. This is how we'd like to go. You know, this is kind of how we want to sound. You know, we played you the demos, you know, you've kind of seen us practice a few times. Like, you know, how can we get that sound to tape? And then, you know, it's sort of, it's a very trusting relationship. I'm handing you our songs, man. And in turn, he, you know, we're trusting him to do that. And he's trusting us to kind of allow him in to be able to work his magic. You know, that's what a good producer does. And it's like an extra tastemaker in the band, so to speak.
Exactly. I got to ask too, what was it like recording in Studio 4? You're talking about Studio 4 in, I can never say the city's name right, Conshohocken.
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 There's lots of tongue twisters in Philadelphia. Left over. Working with Vince was great. I mean, Studio 4 is one of the most incredible drum rooms I've ever had the pleasure of recording in. And as far as recording with Vince goes, I mean, Vince is awesome. You know, Vince really shares sort of the same outlook we have on music as far as, you know, making a record. And Vince's big specialty is vocals, which is, you know, we really try to spend a lot of time on and really get down. And he's really into kind of sharing his knowledge of recording as well, which, you know, as I said, Steve and I are kind of aspiring audio engineers. So it was really cool not only to get to record with him and make a record, but also, you know, oh, what's that piece of gear do? And, you know, what compressor did you use on this? And, you know, geek out about that stuff a little. So it just added even more to the recording experience to be able to kind of share that with him.
Yeah, because I've heard from a few different sources. That place is kind of like a toy store in there for musicians, man.
Studio 4? Yeah, man. I mean, Will Yip is sort of the leader of that ship. And, I mean, he's made some great records. He continues to make great records. We split our time between Studio 4. So we did the drums at Studio 4, and then we actually did the bulk of the guitars and the vocals at Vince's studio, which is not too far from Philadelphia either. And I mean, it was great. You know, Vince had some awesome gear, and it's just his ears and his knowledge. I mean, Vince has been doing this for years, and that's, you know, as an engineer and as a producer, that's the kind of guy you want to work with. You know, someone who's been doing this for a long, long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, what do you have planned going forward? How are you going to promote this thing?
You know, our record release show is Saturday, this Saturday, August 1st, at the North Star Bar in Philadelphia. And then we're, you know, got a few things on the table that, you know, we're going to kind of be releasing as time goes on. But, you know, we just want to get the record into the hands of as many people as we can, you know, spread our music.
Nice, nice. Now, what is the music scene like in Philadelphia? I haven't been there in many years, actually.
Philly's a great rock town. I mean, you know, as with anywhere else, you know, when you're kind of starting at the local level, it's definitely got to eke out your existence and pay your dues. But Philadelphia, I think, is a music town. There's tons of bands that come through here on the national level. There's lots of great places to play on the local level, you know, and it's relatively inexpensive to live in Philadelphia. So Philly and the Philly area as a whole makes a really good base for musicians who are looking to tour and do other things, because, you know, your rent, you know, you move out to L.A., your rent's $900 for a room in a house. You know, $900 in Philadelphia gets you a 3-bedroom house, you know.
And $900 in New York gets you the closet.
Yeah, and you can get a decent house for that kind of price and not a bombed out neighborhood. So, I mean, Philadelphia is a good base, and you're, you know, right in smack in the middle between, you know, you've got Boston and New York, and then you've got, you know, DC and Baltimore to the south. So, you know, I think Philadelphia is a pretty good market.
Oh, and it's a great town. And I've, you know, like I said, I haven't been there in quite some time, but one thing I did like was, I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's like got a, you know, I mean, even just the buildings, the look of the city, and, you know, and the history too. I mean, if you're a history buff, I mean, that's the birthplace of the United States in a way, you know, so it's, yeah. You know, it's a great cultural seat. So, but I've also heard
Philly is a lot tougher.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, but also, I mean, Philly, I've heard that there's a lot of great opportunities for unsigned artists in there too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the music scene in general, or whatever you want to call it, sort of, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, it's really up for grabs, man. I mean, it's what you make of it, you know, and, you know, you build a following here. You know, you spread out. I mean, there's a million ways to kill the cat in this business, but, you know, I think as far as kind of making this your home base and spreading out, you know, Philly's a good place as any for it.
Exactly. Well, do you have any plans past the immediate to promote? Are you thinking about like touring up in Canada or out on the West Coast or maybe even Europe?
I know we're looking at doing some dates up in New York. We're going to try to get down south as well. Kind of see where that goes. And, who knows, man, maybe I'll call you from Europe sometime.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Sky's the limit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And you guys are off to a great start, man. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys do. So
yeah, man, thanks.
Really like it. So where can we find The Escape online?
Our website is www.theescape.net. That's our main website. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/homeoftheescape. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/watchtheescape. And you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/theescapeband.